Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. We're here till the bottom of the hour. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. Good morning again, Fred.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. And we now have Steve Paisley-Jordahl joining us in studio.
You do. Good morning, everybody.
I just brought you a gift that one of our listeners sent.
I'm looking. Earl and Diane, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm opening this up as we speak.
They visited from, they were traveling through from Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
They stopped to see us here in Tupelo.
And they gave me a little present. Oh. Yeah. It looks like it's a men's accessory tie.
Yeah, open it up.
I bet it's Paisley.
I haven't even seen it. It's a surprise.
I bet it's Paisley.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a Paisley tie.
I like that.
That is nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ooh, it's Paisley, and it's kind of rainbow colored.
Keep Paisley alive,
Steve.
That's your mission.
I can't open the plastic wrap. There we go.
I was going to ask you to tie it and put it on right now.
Oh, it's got a pocket handkerchief, too. Look at that.
That's
a fine looking tie right there.
I love this tie. Thank you again. Earl and Diane.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So the point of this, bringing this up, is, folks, if you're going to come visit us here in Tupelo,
bring a gift.
You need to come bearing gifts of some kind.
Indeed.
Or send them after you leave here. Steve got
That's
himself
a good looking
Paisley.
Tie. Paisley. I like that.
You see it, right?
He's actually putting it on.
Yeah, you going to tie it?
Sure.
Why not? Okay, well, folks watching on our Facebook Live feed or our AFR.net feed? Streaming.afr.
I do have to say it does not go well with what you're wearing today.
That's okay.
Well, it's okay. It clashes with your polka dots.
It sure does.
Well, I don't know if those are polka dots, but they're dots. But, there you go. Man, you can tie fast. Wow,
a lot
impressed.
Of experience.
That's amazing. Well, that's Steve. Anyway, you can wear that during the show.
I will.
Folks want to see how Steve's clashing, go to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, or our Facebook Live page for Today's Issues.
But Steve is from California. They wear anything.
That's right.
It doesn't have to match.
Patterns don't matter to California.
No.
Whatever. There you go. Well, anyway, all right, Steve. What is your first news story?
All right. So there's been a debate for a while in conservative circles. Some people are wondering whether or not January 6th was actually grassroots. Did Donald Trump incite the crowd? And were all those people that were at the Capitol, were they all Donald Trump supporters? Or were there perhaps some instigators, perhaps put there by maybe the Justice Department or the FBI? Ray Epps' name comes to mind. Well, Congressman Clay Higgins, who is part of the Committee on Homeland Security and part of the Oversight and Reform Committee in the House, he was talking with Newsmax, and apparently he's seen some data. I have not seen said data, but if you trust what he says, this is what he says. Cut 8.
The FBI was not only involved in the actions on January 6th from within. They had, I suspect, over 200 agents embedded within the crowd, including agents, or as they would call human assets, inside the Capitol, dressed as Trump supporters, before the doors were opened. Beyond that, the FBI had embedded themselves and infiltrated online chat groups and websites and social media accounts across the country with any group that was discussing objections to COVID oppression. And the FBI, effectively infiltrated those groups. And when you track the text threads and the communications within those groups and find the origins of suggestions of potential violence or an active occupation of the Capitol on January 6th, you'll find that those messages were led by members of the groups that ended up to be the FBI agents that had infiltrated the group.
All right, you just heard there about COVID, which let me just explain the connection.
Who again was that?
That was Congressman, Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins. And he said, now, COVID and the January 6th aren't necessarily related, but he said that the FBI infiltrated groups that were talking about ivermectin and COVID vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And in those same discussions around January 6th, those same people started talking about the Trump rally on January 6th. And so what he is saying is that those conversations in those chat rooms that talked about maybe infiltrate or going into the Capitol or causing mayhem on January 6th were led by what he says are FBI informants.
And now, let me ask you this. He did say, he used the expression, he said, I suspect.
Yes.
I mean, that I suspect is not I know.
Correct.
Okay. Or he'd have said I know for a fact.
Yes.
Right? Unless he was talking about I suspect the number, that is. And then he said, again, I don't know the congressman.
Right.
But he is, he's a good guy in terms of his credibility.
And he's in a position by virtue of his committee assignments to come across some of this information.
Yeah. But what I would say would be, did he also say that there were 200 people dressed up like Trump supporters in the Capitol before the invasion? Did he say that?
The 200 number was total amount of agents inside and out that he suspects. But he mentioned, he did not mention a number. But he said
yeah, he did.
Well, he mentioned the 200 number, but he did not mention the number of what he who he says are FBI agents inside the Capitol.
Play it again.
Before
Play it again.
The FBI was not only involved in the actions on January 6th from within, they had, I suspect, over 200 agents embedded within the crowd, including agents, or as they would call human assets, inside the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters.
So that was 200 total, including some that were in the Capitol before.
He suspects.
That they were in the Capitol before.
Now, Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, won't answer directly how many they had.
That's correct. He's been asked several times.
And he won't answer that.
He says based on the fact that they're not going to talk about the way they dish out their confidential informants.
Okay, what's the Ray, I know you're there and you're not a potted plant, so we're going to let you talk in just a
sure.
minute. But so let me ask you this. I think I know the answer to this. What would be, if you were to ask the congressman, what is your overarching point you're making? What is he saying?
That January 6th was an inside job.
100%. 100%. That's exactly what he's
saying.
That's 100% what he's saying.
Well,
that the fix was in and that the FBI was in on it and that there were 200 or more federal. You know, he said he has that deep southern drawl. And it sounded like he was saying Asians.
Yeah. He's got Cajun. He's
Cajun. Also, thank you.
It's Cajun speak. And I thought he said Asians too.
But it was.
And I thought,
agents.
What did that have to do with anything?
Secret Asian man.
Yes. He was saying A G E N T S.
That's right. Federal agents, FBI, and or some other federal employees who were dressed up to look like Trump supporters, and some of them were inside the Capitol before
I've never heard that. Maybe I hadn't been paying attention. Had you heard that before?
No.
No. Well, I've heard recently about busloads of agents that arrived at the scene on January 6th. We heard Ray Epps. We've heard that before. You know, a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I guess, if we had heard this story, this is crazy. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, would never do what the accusation is saying they had done. But you know what? I keep going back to the Mark Houck case. He's the pro-life guy.
Pennsylvania.
Who had a slight shoving match with a Planned Parenthood worker in Philadelphia. He was charged for that and found not guilty. But the FBI sent about a dozen armed agents to his house to arrest him. We know that the Justice Department has been weaponized against its political enemies. Is it possible that this would happen? I think we need a whole lot more proof than what the congressman is portraying right now.
Suspecting?
Yes. We need a whole lot more proof. Will we ever get that? I'm not sure. But I do believe the accusations that have been made by many, that the Justice Department has been corrupted. We've seen how they treat parents who show up at school board meetings, calling them domestic terrorists, all of these sorts of things.
You also remember, and Adam was just pointing this out to us, do you remember the coup to kidnap Governor Whitmer that they were talking about last year sometime, or mm-hmm. earlier this year? They have found that was led by FBI agents as well. So it's not unfounded. And to the point of why you're just now hearing about the agents inside, it's only been within the last week or two that they've released all of the tapes from J6. So listen, that's where you might find those that weren't brought up by the January 6th Select Committee.
Yes. Mike Johnson, the new House Speaker, he promised to release all the videos.
Okay. All right. Can I be the I'm going to play the part of the skeptic here.
Play the part of Ed.
Okay. I would be Ed the liberal. Okay. I just think if you had FBI agents inside the Capitol, not outside in the mixed in the crowd. I don't think the FBI director even denied that. I don't think he denied.
He hasn't commented one way or the other. I don't
believe
on it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know how many, but if you had them inside the Capitol, dressed up like Trump supporters with red hats on and all, that's a bombshell. And that would have been already reported in the media and confirmed in the media, even as biased as the media is. The right-wing media and the conservative media and the congressman would have already talked about that, right? I'm talking about Comer. I'm talking about Jim Jordan. I'm talking about Mike Johnson. Talking about leadership in the Republican Party and the House of Representatives would have already shown video of that on national television and said, look, this happened. So I'm not buying that. Not calling the congressman a liar. He did say, I suspect.
Right.
Okay, so he qualified that. I just wanted to say what my thoughts mm-hmm. are on that particular part of the story. I mean, that's like a movie.
Well, to your point, I think if this has just now appeared because they've just discovered this on the newly released tapes, you better be seeing that in the next day or two. I think that
well, yeah,
to your
that
point,
claim.
That claim, if that claim is just now being discovered because they just found it on those thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of tape that they have, it's possible that they just now found that.
How many hours of tape are there?
Oh, I'll look it up. But
of that one day?
Yes.
Right. Isn't it something like 43,000 hours?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a fantastic.
You mean it's just camera? Have you seen it?
Security cameras.
It's just security cameras from every angle, Ray? Is that what it
right,
is?
Right, from everywhere. From everywhere. So it's thousands and thousands of hours that no one person could ever go
You know
through.
What the part of that day I never did understand?
Okay.
January 6th. And when I heard about it, somebody called me, like everybody, I was just horrified. You know, like everybody, what in the world is going on? The part of that day that I never understood was why did the people who were there protesting the vote feel the necessity to have two rallies?
You mean one with Donald Trump and one at the Capitol?
Yeah, because you have a rally to protest what was going on, the certification of the election by then-Vice President Pence. He's at the Capitol. It's a ceremonial duty. That's my view. That's the view of Jay Sekulow and many, many others. It's not a place where the Vice President says, you know what, I'm not going to accept this. I unilaterally decide to send this back to seven states or whatever like that. That's my view. I've heard some people say, yeah, he could do that. Anyway, I'm not really here to argue about that. But I never understood why you had that rally where the president, President Trump is speaking. He's airing out his grievances. And then he sends them down to the Capitol. And I'm going, why? That's asking for trouble. Okay? You're sending these people who are worked up and amped up, and they're emotional, and you're saying go down there and, quote, fight like hell?
Yeah.
That is bad combo. But then he said, I'm going with you. So I thought, well, if he was going to go with them, that at least will keep it from getting out of hand. Right? Talking about President Trump.
Correct.
Okay. So President Trump, but then he didn't show. And I never understood why he didn't show to keep the crowd under control, because they got down there and they were ready to go, and some of them went in the Capitol building.
I think his Secret Service precluded him from going down. I think he wanted to.
They tell him what to do?
Yes.
Yes. So you're telling me the Secret Service of the United States overrides the President of the United States?
If the President of the United States' life is at stake, if they feel it's danger to his life, they do override him, and they will not let him go.
So he didn't check this out? Prior to going and telling those people to go down to the Capitol, I'm going with you. Oh, but by the way, I haven't checked it out with the Secret Service yet. Well, is that what you're telling me?
I don't think that a lot of stuff was thought through. You know, I'm not accusing the president of deep thinking. They were doing it on the fly.
Right?
What? Right?
They were doing it on the fly, right, Steve? I mean,
No, they weren't doing it on the fly. Are you talking about Trump?
Well, I'm talking about the Secret Service intervening, because things spun out of control very rapidly. You're asking why didn't Trump go to the Capitol?
He said, I'm going with you.
Yeah, well.
I'm speaking to you, thousands of people here. Go down there, and I'm going with you, and then he doesn't go.
What was he going to do when he got down there, make another speech?
That's my point about why the necessity for a second rally. That's asking for trouble. Because people are worked up. Their emotions are high.
Uh-huh.
And you go down there and you tell them to stop the steal.
Right.
Some of them are going to say, all right, I'll go stop the steal. How do we do that? Well, we go in there and get pants. That's how we stop it. You see what I'm saying? Is that unreasonable?
I think the term that was used, peacefully protest.
And legally.
After fight like hell?
Yeah.
Peacefully protest. I mean, just repeating what he's apparently said.
I know he did say that.
But I think you're right. People were emotionally charged. They really did feel the election was stolen.
Yes. Oh, I agree with that. And there were irregularities. And you have the rally to express those grievances that the president attends, and he speaks to them, and then he should have sent them home.
Yeah. But he did not do that. They went up. They knew if they had a sense of urgency that if they were going to stop the steal, I'm just projecting, I believe, how they felt that day, they had to do something beyond be at that rally.
What rally?
With Trump.
What would that be? What, you go have another rally?
you go up and you go into
the Capitol?
The Capitol, and you make a noise and all of that sort of thing. I'm not saying I agree with that. But I think the emotions were running extremely high.
Tim, you've watched a lot of Mississippi State games, obviously, football games. Have you ever come across a game where the refs made a bad call and it cost them the game in the last couple minutes, and you wish like anything you could go down that they could redo those last 2 minutes?
You mean go down there and beat up the refs?
Well, no, but I mean, do something. Right. Don't you wish that they could reset the game and go back to right before that call? That would be justice.
In life, we have injustices.
Yes.
And some of them are worse than others, and we get mad about it and angry about it. Yeah, that's right.
But Donald Trump doesn't stand injustices, especially when they're against him. And he thinks there's still 2 minutes left on the clock because Vice President Pence hasn't certified anything yet. So he's going to go down. He's going to go throw a red flag. Want the
review. He already did at the first rally.
Well, they didn't pick the flag up. Now he wants to go down and I don't know.
There's some problems.
Absolutely right.
With that day.
Yeah.
My problem with wasn't President Trump having a rally, which he did have. My problem was you send people down there, they're emotionally charged, they're right up against the Capitol building. You say, I'm going with you, I'll be there. and then you don't show? Okay? Which tells me, why didn't he show? Well, you're telling me, well, the Secret Service overrules him. So you're telling me something as important as that, he hasn't even checked out?
Apparently not.
With the Secret Service? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Furthermore, I would think that the President of the United States has the authority to overrule the Secret Service. Are you telling me the Secret Service can block him from using the nuclear football if he needed to?
No. No, because not – but have you seen the Secret Service grab a president if they think that there's a shooter in the crowd?
Yes.
That's against his will. He has no choice.
No, if it's in imminent danger.
And that's what he would have been at the – they judged he would have been. There was a
– So you're telling me – excuse me for interrupting you. You're telling me the President of the United States gets in the car, gets in the what do you call that?
The beast.
The beast, right.
Oh, by the way, take me to the Capitol. And they say, no, we ain't going.
That's right.
I'm using Southern English
here. That's right.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Now, there was this apocryphal story of him trying to reach over and grab the steering wheel. It didn't happen, but that's what the Democrats were saying, that he tried to grab the steering wheel and turn them there. But no, the Secret Service definitely could say, no, we are not going to take you to a place where your life could be in danger.
So they get to make that call.
They do.
They have the constitutional authority to make that call.
They do. They have, yes, either the Constitution or in practice, but they do. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, the bottom line is those people were expecting to see the president down there, and he didn't show.
Yep.
And had he gone, I contend that he would have been able to stop them from going into the Capitol building. That's what I say.
Or he would have gone in with them.
You think?
I don't know. With Donald Trump being aggrieved, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, in my view, and I think the view of most people, it was a tragic day.
Yeah.
In the life of our country, what happened on that day shouldn't have happened. That is you can't have law and order and just storm the Capitol building.
But the question will always be, also to add another element to this, there have been reports that the president did ask for more national security, National Guard people there, and Nancy Pelosi turned that down.
That's true.
But why would he ask for that?
Because he was expecting a big crowd.
And the crowd he knew was going to be emotional.
Yes.
That's
and
true.
she turned that down.
I tell you how you could have stopped that is not send them down to the Capitol. If Trump's going to order up National Guardsmen to defend the Capitol, you don't at the same time send people down there. You understand my logic there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there
do you understand? Does that make sense?
In his mind, Ray, there was 2 minutes left in the game, and he still had that red flag. He was going to throw it. He was going to get their attention no matter what, I think.
Well, the whole thing shouldn't have happened. We all agree on that, right? Mm-hmm. That what happened with the storming of the Capitol, we agree. It's not an insurrection, but
I agree with that.
It was not
It was a riot that got out of control.
Yes,
and
it should not have happened. And I guess your point, Tim, is the president should have done more to stop that from happening.
My point is, number one, you don't have a second rally right up against the Capitol. And number two, if you're going to be the ones, if you're the leader and you're sending them down there, you got to go. You got to go, or either you call it off. Because those people walked into a trap.
That's true.
In my view.
That's true.
And that could have been stopped by not having a second rally. And certainly Trump not sending them down there all emotionally worked up. He was angry. A lot of people were angry, but they had their rally. They aired their grievances. Then you send everybody home. That's my view. That's where the mistakes were made, at least on the part of those in attendance. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.